Hello everyone,
let's turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, we're considering how when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth, he's going to govern it, he's going to take over the ruling of it, and the institutions that are so corrupted that presently govern the world will be set aside, and the Lord Jesus will govern it, and he will do that in conjunction with his saints. They will rule with him. I want to read a few verses just from Isaiah. We have looked at how the devil is going to be bound. The thrones of men will be cast down. They will cease to have authority and power. The throne of the Lord Jesus will be established, and as I've said, his saints will reign with him. And we're going to look today at how Jerusalem is going to be the center of Christ's earthly reign. Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Now doubtless it will disappoint those in power that it's not Washington or Moscow or London or any one of the many other worldly capitals that some might think is the very center of world power. No, it's going to be Jerusalem. It's going to be Jerusalem. You know, boys and girls, that little land that features so clearly in the Bible and which men really don't consider to be of any great importance, that little land is going to become the center of everything. What a day it will be when the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom centered in Jerusalem. Might just say that tomorrow there is to be a total eclipse of the sun. Mightn't just be total in this part of the world, but it's very, very close to being a total eclipse. Now, a total eclipse of the sun is when the sun is blocked out completely for a minute or so by the shadow of the moon, and then it moves on and gradually the sun is revealed once again. I mention it because just before the Savior returns, God's going to cut out the sun. The sun is going to stop shining, the moon is going to stop shining, the stars will stop shining, as a signal that the Lord Jesus is about to come. I'm sure God reminds men of this event by what will be happening tomorrow. I'm sure that when the Lord Jesus comes back again and the sun will be darkened, that will terrify men and women. That will terrify men and women throughout the whole world. They realize something tremendous is about to happen. So tomorrow's event is a reminder of what will happen one day to a far greater degree. Now let's turn to Isaiah 2. This is a familiar portion. You know we've read this before. But I'm reading it again because it's such a clear record of what's going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes again. And I do hope that you find it interesting as we read together. Isaiah, the chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Here's a prophet who lived 700 years before Christ, and a little more, most likely. But we'll say 700 is a round figure, before Christ, which is 2,000 years ago, plus the 700. So that's nearly 3,000 years ago Isaiah lived. But he saw the coming of Christ and what it would result in. He wasn't ignorant of it. He saw what would happen when Jesus came again. I feel that that surely indicates to us that we ought not to be ignorant of what's going to happen when Jesus comes again. Because you see, we not only have, as it were, the pictures that Isaiah had of the return of Christ, and which he wrote down his word, but we have what Jeremiah saw, what Zechariah saw, and we could add all of the prophets. They've left us a record. They've left us, as it were, little photographs of this great event, so that we can add together what Isaiah knew, to what Jeremiah knew, to what Zechariah knew, and then you can come into the New Testament, and you can add to what the prophets teach you, that which the Lord Jesus taught us, Matthew 24. And then you can come on into the epistles, etc., and then right up to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and you can add that knowledge to that which the prophets have given us. And that ought to make us very, very well informed indeed. What does it say in verse 1 of Isaiah 2? The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days. What he saw concerned the last days. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. You notice the interest there is here? All the nations of the earth. And they're saying one to another, let's go to Jerusalem. Let's go to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, that he might teach us. It reminds us, you see, of what happened in the days of the Lord Jesus when he was upon the earth. There were times it was reported, he's in such and such a house, and there were many, many people immediately dropped everything and rushed to that house to see him, hear him, to be blessed by him. And you read that time and time again. An interest among the people. But of course, in the days of the Lord Jesus on earth, that was happening only within Israel and only within small districts in Israel. It wasn't happening to all the people of Israel during the Savior's visit, because there are many people who didn't care in the least about hearing him. And it was only when he went to a village that there was a bit of interest stirred up, or he went over to another town, and again there was interest among some people. So there was a little interest stirred up, and you saw people flocking. But here, in Isaiah 2, it's a worldwide interest. It's a worldwide interest. It says in verse 2, and oh, boys and girls, look at every word when you're reading the Bible. Every word. It says in verse 2, all nations shall flow unto it. All nations. People from all nations are going to flow like a river of people. If the Lord Jesus was in Jerusalem today, wouldn't you want to go? I know I would want to go. I remember talking to Dr. Paisley many, many years ago. We were probably driving somewhere and chatting away. And he told me, he says, you know, I have one regret, that during the revival in the Isle of Lewis, I didn't travel to Lewis to see it. The revival took place in the late 1940s, although it's a place that God was pleased to visit on many, many occasions. But there was that period in the 40s. And Dr. Paisley was a young lad. He was just beginning his ministry around about 1947. And here we were over 20 years later. And he was talking to me and he said, you know, I'm sorry I didn't go to Lewis while God was working there in power. I wish I'd gone. I wish I had gone. See, the Lord was moving in Lewis. And here was one of God's servants. And he wished he had gone. Oh, he had many things to do and many duties at hand, I'm sure. But he just, later in life, wished he had just dropped everything. Caught a boat to Scotland and got a train up to the north of Scotland and got another boat and sailed to Lewis to witness the power of God at work. Oh, if the Lord Jesus was in Jerusalem today, I'm sure you and I would wish to go. And I have no doubt that Miss Dane would shut the school down and we'd all head off. Oh, yes. Well, it's going to happen one day. That's what the Word of God says. Going to happen one day. I'm going to quickly read to you some verses that indicate to us how that Jerusalem is going to be the center of affairs when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. It's a center of dispute and argument, and it has been a center of war for centuries. There's no capital that has been such a place of contention and fighting and battling as Jerusalem. And it's because of the Lord link with it that that is the case. But one day, it's going to be a place of universal peace and joy, center of blessing. Right, I better start reading these verses, shouldn't I? Will you turn to Psalm 102, those of you who can quickly turn it up? Psalm 102. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. The word build up there means, in many instances, to repair. When the Lord comes again, he's going to repair, bring back again to its full beauty, the city of Jerusalem. And when he does that, he's going to appear in his glory, so that the restoration of Jerusalem and the appearance of the Lord in his glory are put side by side. The two events coincide. We've already read Isaiah, the chapter 2, or some verses from it. And likewise, that emphasizes the things that will happen in Jerusalem. Let me go a little further. Isaiah chapter 62. Oh, I hope, boys and girls, you will grow up with these verses, these references in Scripture, in your memory. And you'll turn to them again and again and again. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Now there are those, of course, who say, oh, God's not talking about Jerusalem. This doesn't literally mean the city of Jerusalem. And because God knows all things and knew that there would be men come along and say this, the Lord uses a double name all the time, just to make sure that you understand where it is he's talking about. So here, in the verse 1 of Isaiah 62, it's for Zion's sake. Zion, oftentimes a title for Jerusalem, but geographically it was a section of Jerusalem. It was a hill in Jerusalem. It was where the temple was built. For Zion's sake. For Jerusalem's sake. Now who is it that dares speak after God utters these words and say, God's not talking about Jerusalem. He's talking about Christians, about the church. It's a bold man indeed, a foolish man, I think, that would do that. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. And all kings, thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. You know, boys and girls, that proves that the Lord's not talking about the church here. He's talking about Jerusalem. And he says about Jerusalem that thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. That can't be the church. Do you know why? Jesus said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He has never forsaken his people. He has never forsaken his redeemed. He cannot. But in speaking of Jerusalem, he does say, you shall no more be termed forsaken. Israel is forsaken today because of its sin against God. God's chastening that ancient people. He has forsaken them and distanced himself from them. But there's a day coming when that forsaking will end. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah. And thy land, Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. There's a blessed day coming for Israel and for Jerusalem. And it's the day when the Lord returns and makes that city his. Makes it his. Makes it a royal diadem in his hand. An ornament associated with coronation, with kings and queens ruling. Look at Joel chapter 3. I had some more verses to show you, but let's read from Joel chapter 3 and the verse 15. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, tomorrow when there's noise about that eclipse and everybody's talking about it and it'll be on the news, you and I will be thinking of this day here that God speaks of through his prophet Joel. And the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. Might I just say this? We really don't see the sun and the moon shining together, do we? Nor do we see the stars shining at the time the sun is shining. But when you read this statement, it reminds us that while the sun is shining here, the other part of the world, it's dark. The moon's out. The stars are shining. So when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, it's going to be a day in which no matter where you are in the world, there will be an impact upon the sun or the moon and the stars, and all the world will know that something tremendous is happening. The sun and the moon and the stars will withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. He's come to Zion. This is the roar of the lion, as it were, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the king, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. There you are again, just in case you want to argue about where it is. It's Zion and it's Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord, your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem, again, no doubt about where he's talking about, then shall Jerusalem be holy. Then, here again I point to you the fact that it can't be talking about the church as some people do teach. Because the church today is holy by the grace of God. We are a holy people, a holy generation. Being born of God and washed in the blood, we're a holy people. Now, but you see, this says then, when Jesus comes again, then shall Jerusalem be holy. Of course, he's talking about the conversion of the Jewish people that will take place when he returns. So we have all sorts of indications that quite literally God's talking about his ancient people. And there shall no strangers pass through her anymore, and it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. Time of tremendous fruitfulness, fertility, because God is blessing the land. And the fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. It's a day when God will visit the sins of nations, as well as a day when he will bless Israel. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Going to be the center of the Savior's reign. The center of the Savior's reign. Oh, glorious day. May God bless these words to your heart and strengthen your expectation and your hope and your longing for the day of the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word to our hearts today. Please write these blessed truths upon the hearts of the children and awaken within their soul the longing for the coming of Christ. Amen. Amen.